Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Chapter 1, verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Well, if you've lived for the Lord any amount of time at all, you know that there is truly, what verse 3 says, a testing of your faith. You know, what do you believe? What is your theological position? Whatever your faith in God is, circumstances, life, situations are going to test that belief that you have. Testing. All kinds of tests that we experience as believers. But the good news for us is the fact that there is a wisdom of God. We so love that. If any of you lack wisdom, talk in the context of this test. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and will be given to him. In other words, whatever the test is, whatever the test question is, there is the wisdom of God for that. There is an answer in God for the things that your faith is being tested by. You know, one of the things that just so excited me about the Word of God after I became a believer was just the amazing truth that this book is. You know, even, you know, I always had a respect for the Bible and an appreciation for the Bible, but when you realize the Bible is the Word of God, the wisdom of God is in here, it's like, wow, praise God. You know, for the believer, life, in terms of its tests and trials, it's an open book test for us. We like those open book tests where you can bring your book to class and say, okay, it's an open book test. That means you can look up the answers, you know, reference them and look them up. Well, the sad thing is, when a person obviously doesn't know Christ, they need to know Christ, but also that answer book is right there. Or for people who know Christ, but they don't realize the answers and the purpose of this book was really to give us the answers, the wisdom that we need from God for the testing of our faith. Life is an open book test for the believer. We've got the answers right here. The wisdom of God for every situation is right here. And so, this morning, in the spirit of what we kind of call it a back-to-school theme, we're all getting ready to head back to school. We're going to talk about the open book test this morning. The open book test this morning. Trial of your faith. Yeah, you're going through stuff. I know. I am too. But praise God for believers. It's an open book test. We have access to the answers for every test question. Who gives, like he says, he gives to all liberally. He doesn't withhold. And so this morning, as we're going to talk about minister along the lines of the open book test, there's a few guidelines that we need to have as we're taking the open book test. Okay? The first step in taking the open book test is use the right book. This is very, very important. There's a lot of books out there. 2 Timothy puts it this way. It says, "But you must continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is our answer book. It is exhaustive. It covers the full spectrum of our tests taking. I love that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, the answers that we need to our test questions are in here. They're in this God-inspired book. And I love how in verse 15 it says, from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures. Praise God for getting the Word of God in us. Getting the Scriptures in us. Here Paul's exhorting Timothy. He's saying, you know, you got the Word of God in you. Don't start working with other books. You got the Word of God in you. Those Scriptures are able to make you wise. Pray. That's why we have our Treasure Seekers program on Wednesday nights that's going to be starting up again this fall, where from young children, 5-ish to 12-ish, we're putting the Word of God into them. We are encouraging them to get the Word of God hidden in their hearts, because the Spirit of God will draw that back and minister to them. From childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures. Praise God. Jesus has a reference to the truth. He says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, shall know the truth. You'll find the answer. And that answer will make you free. You got to work with the right book, though. You got to use the right book in this open book test. If your chemistry class was having an open book test and you accidentally brought your geometry book, you'd be in trouble. The answers just aren't in there. There may be some kind of answers that may be true in certain contexts and situations, but the answer book we need for this open book test, life's open book test, is the book that addresses the issues of life. I think one of the powerful things to appreciate when you think of life being an open book test and see the words of Christ here, continue in my word, you're my disciples, you know the truth will make you free, is that Jesus used this book in his open book test. When he was tested in the wilderness, Satan was trying to get him to fall. Turn the stones into bread. It is written. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Praise God. Jesus looked up the answer. He knew the answer. That was written. It's the written answer. Think about that. God becomes flesh, and he uses the book for his open book test. Over and over, Jesus did things fulfilling ministry that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. Man, what does that tell me? That tells me that this is my answer book. This was Jesus' answer book. Using the right book. Like we said, there's all kinds of books out there. There's a lot of, a lot of different things out there. The opinions of man. Now, there are good books. Don't get me wrong. Good books that are based on the Word of God. Of course, there's books, you know, that are just deal with natural intelligence of stuff like algebra or geometry or chemistry or things like that. But as it comes to your life questions that test your faith, there is a faith book inspired by the Spirit of God, and that is the one that we need for our particular test questions. When you look at our test, or you could say our test of faith, you'll notice that, and you can take inventory in your own life, but there are a lot of different kinds of test questions in this test. I mean, some of the obvious test questions are just the basic temptations, you know, testings that we have to do with our body. Galatians chapter 5 enumerates the works of the flesh: adultery, fornication, outbursts of wrath, anger, hatred, murders, drunkenness, revelries, the like. Those are just the basic garden variety pulls of the body and the pulls of the flesh that we all experience. That's just the testing. That's one level of test that we have to deal with in terms of testing our faith. I believe, and according to my faith, this is wrong. But just because you believe something is wrong doesn't mean you're not going to be tempted to do what's wrong. There's going to be a test. Do you really believe that's wrong? And then you're going to have to decide, well, maybe I need to change the word in such a way to justify it. No. I'm going to take the word. I'm going to stay with the word. And if I miss it, I'll acknowledge that I missed it. I'm going to get back on the word. Praise God. There's a testing of, you know, just the attack of the enemy. You know, Satan will come like a roaring lion. Roaring thoughts in your head. He'll roar something on volume 10 in your head, and then he'll stand back and shame you for thinking such a thing. That's his tactic. Roaring. And you realize, oh, I know this is wrong, but how do I stop these thoughts? Oh, I'm not, forget this. I can't stop. I've tried to stop these thoughts. Am I going to let go of my faith? There are tests of integrity. You have an opportunity to do something that isn't quite right, but nobody would know. Pretty cool. Be very expedient sometimes to do the wrong thing that nobody would know. Those are tests. Tests of integrity. There are tests of persecution. We see that going on right now in our world. Northern Iraq, be praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ, for their deliverance, for their safety, and praying for people. Man, I'm just praying for people to come to Christ. You know what God did in the Bible days? He took the worst persecutor of the church, Saul, and just went after him, got him saved. And that's the great Apostle Paul that we have today. But he started out as the absolute worst persecutor of the church. I'm just praying there's going to be some amazing things of the move of the Spirit of God that's going to disrupt groups, that's going to cause division in bad groups, that they won't have their unity anymore. That the power of the Spirit of God is going to infiltrate and cause hearts to be turned, consciences to be pricked, and to realize this isn't right. I just believe. There are tests of faith, though. There are tests of persecution. Do I stay true to my faith? All kinds of different tests. There's tests of love. Love walk tests. Forgiveness. 70 times 7. Oh. Am I going to forgive again this time? My account is, I'm forgived out. Do I stay with it? Or am I going to keep forgiving and forgiving? 70 times 7. Wow. Forgiveness. Love walk. Sometimes just faithfulness. Just staying put. Sometimes you just want to do something. You want to change for the sake of change. But God is telling you to stay where you are. It's okay to move on when God shows you what to do. Your Lord gives you a next step, leading and guiding you to all truth. But if you're just frustrated where you're at and you're leaving a place because you're offended or something without a leading of the Spirit of God, there's a test of just being faithful and staying put. Just staying put. God's working in you. You have need of patience. And as I'm staying put, I'm actually letting patience have its perfect work in me. And some stuff is going on behind the scenes. And it's developing you. And it's establishing you. Like my mom would say, you know, eat that spinach or whatever, it'll put hair on your chest. Well, as a young boy, that was, I guess, an incentive. But, you know, so I guess it doesn't really apply. But, you know, as far as spiritual hair on your chest. But what is it saying? It'll develop character in you. It'll give you something behind the scenes, a stability and something in you. It'll give you some resolve. There are all kinds of those different little tests. Sometimes there's theological tests. Man, what do I believe? What you believe comes under attack. What you believe gets attacked. Is it really true? Is it really not true? Man, there's an answer book. There's an answer book for all these things. But if you want to get the answers to these questions, you got to use the right book. Oh, my goodness. Man's books will appeal to your flesh. Man's books will play on your victim complex. And Lot itself is the most compassionate thing in the world. God will tell you the truth. And it's the truth that will make you free. Man, people feeling sorry for you isn't what makes you free. Let God be true and every man a liar. It's not procuring the sympathy of everybody else. It's the truth. What's the right answer to this question? I want to pass this test. I want to pass this test and be free. I want something to happen as a result of this test that's going to make me perfect and entire, wanting nothing. as those tests show things up in our lives. So, first things first, if we're going to take an open book test, we need to use the right book. Next in our open book test is we have to clearly define the question. Clearly define the question, the test question, if you will. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, here's just some overall guidelines regarding the kind of questions that will be asked on our test. No temptation or test question has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted, tested beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Here's good news. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. In other words, whatever test it is that you're going through, you're not the first person to take this test. This test has been taken many times. Many, many times. In fact, whatever test question you're dealing with this morning, you can know first and foremost, it's common to man. The people, the places, the names may all be different, but the question's the same. The question is the same. It's common to man. And God is going to make the way of escape. God's going to give you an answer to whatever that test question is. Here's another scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, which also kind of talks along the lines of the test question. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's some pretty strong language right there. And it's language that describes the weapons of our warfare. They're powerful through God for these things. And we see bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What the point here in this step is, not only do we have to use the right book, but we have to clearly define the question. We have to define the question. And when you see that language of the power, every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, because when you're dealing with a test and you're dealing with the flesh and the world and the devil, in your mind, things aren't laid out neatly 1 through 10. It's a blur. It's a swirl of thoughts. You don't know where one test question ends and the other one begins. It's almost like they're fragmented and jumbled up. And a lot of times you just kind of, I don't even know how to handle this stuff. We've got weapons that can clearly define the test questions. Once you get those things clearly defined, man, that's when you can get some clear answers. But there is a defining of what the test questions are, if you will. Again, Satan is the author of confusion. So he doesn't even really want you to see clearly. He doesn't mind you knowing that there are a bunch of jumbled up questions to intimidate you. But we're going to clearly define the question. So step one in clearly defining the question is we've got to get past, recognize, identify that yes, there is satanic confusion that I may have to deal with as I'm taking my open book test, especially when he sees you opening that book. Bible says that the enemy comes immediately to try to steal the word. When you start using the right book, you know, you might realize that there are some confusion and every evil work trying to go on in your head, roaring at you and then accusing you. But, and that's just kind of the way he is. You know, I think of it back in my Hardee's days. I worked at Hardee's when I was a senior in high school. And one of the things that I noticed that we were taught, trained, as a good Hardee's employee, was the art of suggestive selling, all right? So you'd come up to my cash register, and you'd see a nice little card that would say, you know, our little special of the day or something like that. But on the other side of the card that you couldn't see, it was talking to me as the cashier saying, would you like fries with that? And so I'm, you know, taking orders, and, you know, whatever the little suggestive selling are for the day, I'd be asking those questions. And it's amazing how people, you know, even if it's, you know, 15, 20% of the people change their mind. Well, hey, yeah, I'd like an apple pie with it. Yeah, I'd like some fries. Oh, yeah. It's called suggestive selling. You plant an idea inside of somebody. You plant an idea inside of their heads. And this is what the enemy will do in your thinking, out of the blue. I mean, you might be thinking, you might be even endeavoring, you know, to go after God, and then all of a sudden Satan will say, would you like a little gossip with that? A little fear, suspicion. Can I suggest, a little hatred and anger? Remember what they did. Or flash in the flesh. Would you like some pornography with that today? I'm talking about your head, your mind, and suggestive selling that goes on. What is this stuff? This is confusion. This is stuff that is going on in your head to keep you on the merry-go-round, to never quite getting around, to taking thoughts captive and bringing it into the obedience of Christ. Trying to keep you off guard. No. You see, when you begin to take thoughts captive, you realize, first off, those thoughts aren't used to being taken captive. He's just used to hit and run, hit and run, hit and run. Has God truly said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? You surely won't die. Suggesting, 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 suggesting. We have our garden experience testing every day. Suggestive selling. But what do? I take thoughts into captivity and say, no, you're not going to wiggle away. They'll want to get away. But no, I'm going to take these thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What am I going to do? I'm about to clearly define the test question. I'm not going to walk around in a muck of confusion. I'm going to define what's going on here. Praise God. How do you define, how do you captivate a thought? I'm going to tell you some things, just little tricks, tips, hints. As you're doing some spiritual warfare here, one of the great ways to define and bring thoughts into captivity, the obedience of Christ, is have your pencil and paper ready. Or your phone, or talking into it, or writing down. Take things. There is something. And, you know, apart from spiritual warfare, you find this works good in the natural anyway. You know? Maybe it's around Christmas time, whatever. You got 50 to-do list things. And it's like, oh, and it's all in your head. Something about getting it down on paper and writing. It's out of your head and it's on the paper. It's just a little less intimidating there. When you begin to define thoughts, what is this thing? Begin to write out some of these thoughts in your mind. What are the issues? You know, I'm having a problem, an issue with so-and-so because they did this or they said this. And, I mean, you begin to write it down. It's out of your head and it's on paper. And you begin to look at it and say, wow, they did do that 20 years ago. And I already forgave them for it. Or I'm afraid this is going to happen. Write it down. Okay? And I am afraid that's going to happen. But there's an answer for that. And begin to enumerate those things that are going on. Begin to write things out. Because there is scripture that's useful for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for training, that the man, the woman of God can be fully equipped for every good work, no matter what's going on in my head. There's a scripture for that. Like the old advertising slogan, now there's an app for that. Well, there's an answer for that. There's a scripture for that. There's an answer. There's the wisdom of God for that. Begin to take things. And the cool thing about this is, too, is you begin to do that. Those test questions will become the framework for a prayer journal. Because as you see things written out, and later on as you begin to address them, you'll be amazed at how God answers them. If you've ever done this, you just look back and go, wow. If you've taken any kind of a prayer journal, maybe you've done that, and you've just kind of write down your prayer requests, and then you date as God begins to answer them, and you go back and read that, it's like, wow, it's just amazing how much God answers my prayer. I didn't even realize it. I look back at those things and it's like, I need to do that again, you know? There is nothing quite so encouraging in your test taking as seeing things and seeing results of God answering your prayers. But it is important to clearly define those questions. And if you're having a hard time in defining the questions, ask God for wisdom. Lord, what is this? Why am I chasing my tail here? Kind of write down what I know. And Father, if there's more wisdom that I need to know in framing this question, show me. But I want to know, what is it? We talked about those different categories. Is it an issue of fear? Is it an issue of trust? Is it an issue of casting my cares to the Lord? Lord, just kind of show me what The question is, what is it that I want the answer to? Defining that. Defining that question. And then, after you use the right book, you clearly define the question, then you have to look up the answer. All right? Now you think, well, maybe that kind of goes without saying, but when I'm talking about looking up the answer, again, I am talking about, I'm not talking about picking up the phone, I'm talking about looking up the answer. You going to the Bible for yourself and seeing those words with your eyes. You know, God wants to have a personal relationship with you. He doesn't want to have a relationship with you through your mom or through your dad or through your friend or through that person that you really respect. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have you have your very own relationship with him. He wants to tell you stuff that are just between you and him. He wants that kind of endearing walk. I'll tell you, when you have that and you experience that, that's what cultivates the loyalty that you experience. But here's some great scriptures that refers to look up the answer. This is part of the testimony of when the Apostle Paul was doing his missionary journeys. It says here in Acts 17:10, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men." But here we see a commendable trait ascribed to the Bereans. They were fair-minded, or another scripture will say noble. Why? Because they, for themselves, searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so. In other words, Paul goes to the synagogue, he preaches his sermon, they hear his sermon, they take the Bible, they search it to see if it really lines up with the Word of God. And Paul doesn't get all offended at that. Say, "I'm the man of God, you just take my word for it." No, he said, "Wow, that's awesome. Congratulations, fair-minded, good. You should do that with everything. You should do it with your pastor's sermon on a Sunday morning. You should do it with all the little cable broadcasts and the things that go on. You better be searching the scriptures daily to see if those things are so or not. You're going to find yourself following man. You're going to find yourself at some theological impasses that you got to watch the broadcast tomorrow to see how we get out of that one. Or do you have your own relationship with God? Are you walking with the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and you've got something, you have confidence in your relationship with God where you can search the scriptures daily to see if those things are so or not?" We're talking about looking up the right answer. Looking up the answer. You, with your Bible, looking up the right answer. Thank God for good spiritual books. I'm all for them, that are based around the Word of God. And you can have thematic spiritual books on how to pray, how to give, you know, how to exercise your faith, different things like that. That's great. But those books better be centered around the Word of God. There better be scriptures that are also corroborating those teachings. And still after that, you need to go back to the Word of God for yourself. That was something that I so appreciated about school. I was, my training through Kenneth Hagin, he'd always say, "Don't take my word for it." He'd say, "You go and study it out yourself. You pray it out yourself. And let the Spirit of God show you." You see, that's a person who understands the importance of the secret place, of going there, shutting the door, and really getting the revelation of things with God. But boy, that's a fair-minded, that's a noble character trait. I got a test question. I'm going to the Word of God for myself. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. Again, we see something else about the Word of God here as we're going to look stuff up. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things," this is a full spectrum here, "that pertain to life and godliness." All things. "Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which knowledge have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." We saw that, didn't we? No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. God's going to provide the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. These exceeding great and precious promises provide a way of escape. They are the answers. They are the basis for faith as we're taking these tests. Thank God we can look up that answer. We can look up. We can look up the very things that the Word of God says we can do. Now, let me kind of say this too, and kind of reiterate it a little bit. You know, on closed book tests, you can't look up the answer. On a closed book test, it's purely based on your memorization. But on an open book test, you can look up the answer. Thank God for it. And it is important to do that. You know, if you're in a situation where you just can't get access, you know, to something, you know, the written Word of God, obviously, you know, you can declare it. That's what Jesus did. He said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. We hide the Word of God in our heart. But the Scripture also says, don't let the Word depart from your eyes. You talk about something that is powerful to bringing your thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ, when all instead of your mind being up here speculating, you're down here looking at concrete words. It's powerful. I mean, I could experience, you know, an offense, and I can just have a theological reminder that I should forgive. Or I can open up the Bible to Ephesians 4:32 and says, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, God in Christ forgave you. Something about stopping and looking at those words. I mean, look up the answer. Those words will feed your spirit. There is power in those words. Faith comes as you read and see those words. Going to the Word of God for itself. You have to go to the Word of God, put your eyes on it, and feed your spirit. It's not just enough for theological recall. That won't feed your spirit. Go to the Word. I mean, I can know my favorite steak dinner. I can imagine it right now on the grill with my favorite marinade sauce. And just being ready to come off, and it's juicy and ready to be dug into. And I can just imagine the knife going through and, ah. I can think about it, but it won't feed my physical body. You can theologically remember what this person says. This, you got to go to the Word of God and eat. Until I get the stuff and eat steak, you know, until I'm actually physically doing it, I'm not eating. And that's what you got to have the same mentality. I'm going physically to the Word of God for itself, not just my great theology. I'm going to the Word. I've been to the Scripture 100 times. Go to it 101 times. You never get so proud of your theology that you can't just go to the Bible and read it again. The man, the Psalm 1 guy, who meditates in the Word day and night, that's a person who's just keeping it before their eyes. They're probably meditating on something, which means to mutter, to murmur, to roll around, something that they probably even meditated on yesterday, but they're still doing it again today. Praise God. I had steak, you know, before, but I'm going to have steak again. I've had potatoes before. I'm going to have potatoes again. You know, the food groups are just a couple. But you need to keep feeding on those food groups over and over and over again, even though you've ate it before. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. We got to go to it. We got to literally go to that book and begin to read it. Now, I'm just going to say this. There are some really good reference tools out there. One of the really good reference tools are different Bible promise books. You can kind of look up categorically some different issues, areas, maybe fear, worry, forgiveness, like we've mentioned before, healing, whatnot. And you can just find the promises of the Word of God on some of these areas and begin to read them and declare them out loud. That's a great way. Another little tool that's out there, too, is a book called Prayers That Avail Much. And this is kind of a neat one, too, because it kind of helps, you know, take those scriptures, kind of like a Bible promise book. It has all the different scriptures in the area. But then it helps to kind of formulate a prayer, all right? It's not like liturgy that you got to do this verbatim or else. It's just kind of a nice training wheel guideline to kind of help you get started in praying, you know? So here's like an example of, you know, worry. You know, there's various, probably about 12 scriptures that you can look up regarding worry. But then just kind of formulates a prayer. Father, I thank you. I've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of your dear Son. I commit to live free from worry. In the name of Jesus, the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I humble myself under your mighty hand, that in due time you may exalt me. I cast the whole of my cares on you, all my anxieties, all my worries, all my concerns, once and for all on you. You care for me affectionately. You care about me watchfully. You sustain me. You will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, made to slip, fall, fail. Father, I delight myself in you, and you perfect that which concerns me. I cast out imaginations, reasonings, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of you. I bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I lay aside every weight and the sin of worry which tries to so easily beset me. I run with patience this race that is set before me, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I thank you, Father, that you are able to keep that which I have committed unto you. I think of, fix my mind on those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, deserving of praise. I will not let my heart be troubled. I will abide in your words. Your words abide in me. Therefore, Father, I don't forget what manner of person I am. I look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, and thus blessed in my doing. Thank you, Father. I am carefree. I walk in peace, which passes my understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's a lot of scriptures put together in the form of a prayer. So this can be a really good tool. Does that mean that I got to pray this verbatim? No, I don't. But it can be a good tool to kind of help me get started as I'm beginning to address things. And again, the scriptures are right there. Now, I'm not saying just do this. Don't look up. Look up the scriptures. All right? Look up those scriptures still. See them in their context. See, this is the promise of God for me. But there is a going to the word, what we're simply calling a looking up of that answer. Okay? And this is something that you actually really kind of have to condition yourself to do. Because, you know, it's not natural when you experience the test. When the test comes your way, the natural reaction isn't to pick up your Bible. The natural reaction is to take inventory of how this thing is making you feel and what do I need to do to feel better. You know, instead of saying, what's going on here from a spiritual perspective and what does the Bible say I need to do about it? You just, you know, there's a conditioning that it takes as you begin to look up the answers, going to the Word. It sounds like a little simple step, but don't be discouraged, I'm saying. If you find yourself not going to the Word right, get back up and say, I'm going to the Word. I'm going to condition, I'm going to practice it. Practice it. This is the value of, you know, just really taking some regular time each day to just on purpose practice it. You know, that's why in school, in the spirit of our back-to-school sermon here this morning, you'll notice we have fire drills. We might have tornado drills. Why do we do those things? Why do we go through these exercises? We literally train it and train it. I remember, you know, having the drills where you'd have to sit down in the hallway and put your head between your legs and, you know, cover your head, you know, for tornadoes and different things like that. Or you'd have the fire drills. Or you'd have to, if I'm in this class, I'd walk out through here and have all those things. Why do you do these kind of mechanical type drills? So when the test comes, when the storm comes, you're not stopping and having to think, now what do I need to do? No, it's just kind of ingrained in you. It's kind of a no-brainer. You've already got the response to that. And that's the way we get as we mature spiritually. We begin to go to the Word. It's like, okay, the conflict hits. Okay, I know the answer's here. I know it's here. I know it's here. Okay, I'm going to the Word. I'm going to the Word. Going to the Word. I can save myself a lot of time by just getting conditioned. So that is going to be something that as you live for God, that you're going to get conditioned to go to the Word, go to the Word. Praise God. And then finally, not only do we have to go to the Word, but we have to do what it says. All right. Oh, James chapter 1, 22 puts it this way. It says, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone's a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's you with your Bible, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Praise God. Jesus put it this way. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. That's the test of your faith. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. That's what Jesus said. He said, whoever hears these things and does them, that's the man who builds his house on the rock. You've noticed this too, again, that in these tests, even as a Christian, good theology in of itself isn't what causes you to pass the test. Somebody treats you badly, And your choices are smack them, A, B, blame God, or C, forgive them, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Oh, the answer is C. Yeah? You got the right answer. Now what? Now what are you going to do? You have to go into that secret place. Say, okay, Father, here we go. I'm going to do what you said to do. See, this is a deal where, in Christian faith, there is a doing of the answer. Oh, praise God. There's a doing the word. Doing the word. This is where things begin to happen. This is where faith is released. You know, it's interesting. The hearer of the word isn't blessed. It's the doer. The doer of the word that is blessed. Now, there's a blessing in that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you can experience a blessing, as it were, of experiencing faith from hearing the word. But there's a blessing that only comes from doing the word. Not just having good theology. I can have great theology and be yielding to the flesh, left and right. But when I begin to do the word, good teaching, preaching, meditating on the word of God will align my theology with the word of God. This is all good. But when I do the word of God, then it aligns my will with the will of God. See, what you do affects your will. Have you noticed that? When you do something, it kind of gets a little easier to do it the next time, and the next time, and the next time, and the next time. What you do affects your will, and your will affects what you do. Doing the will of God. Jesus at Gethsemane said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. Jesus didn't go to the cross in his imagination. He really, physically went to the cross. There's going to be a doing of the word. And when you do that word, making yourself vulnerable, there is faith, there's humility, and there is a response. There is grace. There is intimacy. This is how you really experience intimacy with God. Jesus, you know, told his disciples, you know, he who obeys these words, he said, my and my Father will manifest myself to them. You experience God when you put it on the line. You begin to do what he says. And so, as we're talking about, again, doing what he says, it's beginning to take that word and simply acting on it. And here is something that I just really want to qualify to. A lot of times, we've got a double standard when it comes to natural discipline and spiritual discipline. Have you noticed that? Timothy says, you know, physical exercise profits a little, but godly exercise is profitable in all things. But either way, it's exercise. 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 Exercise is discipline. And when we're talking about doing the word, you're just going to do it. Exercise, practicing, doing the word of God. If I was to talk about natural discipline, here's the double standard I'm talking about. If I talk about natural discipline, and there's something that you want to do in the natural, there's stuff you got to do, whether it's, okay, I've got my workout regime, I got those things. I don't just work out when I feel like working out. I got to work out, I got to do what I'm supposed to do if I'm going to attain certain physical stuff in the natural. We know that. But when it comes to spiritual discipline, we have another set of rules. I only read my Bible when I feel inspired to read my Bible. Otherwise, it's legalism. No. It's exercise. There may be times you enjoy going in that run or the treadmill or whatever. There's times you just don't want to do it at all. Same way with spiritual things. It's unscriptural to only do spiritual things when you feel inspired to do spiritual things. You won't find that in the Bible. And don't confuse it with legalism. We're not talking about going to I'm not going to read my Bible so I can go to heaven when I die. That's legalism. Let's make a quick distinction between consecration and legalism. Legalism is an attempt to do something to substitute what Christ did for you on the cross, to make you righteous. I'm reading my Bible so I can have right standing with God. Well, that's legalism. I'm baking pies. I'm doing good things. I'm doing, you know, to get God to like me. Well, that's legalism. Legalism. It's where I'm trying to do something to substitute what Christ did for me on the cross. I can't do that. But when my motive, Paul told Timothy, he says, you know, he said, when you sanctify yourself, when you get free from the power of sin, it purifies you for every good work. I'm putting aside sin and junk in my life that I can be useful for the master. That's different. That's consecration. And that doesn't always feel good. It's a spiritual, godly exercise. And it's profitable for all things. See, when the storms are beating on the house and things like that, it can be scary. You've been in the house in a thunderstorm, hear a crack, something comes close to your house. There can be some scary thoughts. What are we doing, though? We're staying with the Word, staying on the Word. And that's exactly what we're doing here when we're talking about doing the Word. I'm not waiting for an inspiration to do what I see written. I'm just by faith doing it. I heard somebody talk about love that way once. How can I love that person? He said, well, just act the way you would toward that person if you loved them, because you do. The love of God's been shed abroad in your heart. It's just your flesh. It's just your emotions. All those kind of things that are trying to dissuade you. No, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. The capacity to love is in you. What is that? It's exercise. Exercise. No emotion. We talked last week about deliberate faith. I'm doing things without the predication of emotional inspiration. And this is what keeps us spiritual babies. We can only move out if we've got that emotional inspiration to move out. I don't have to have it. It is written. The Word of God says, I believe it. I'm standing on it. In the face of things, you know, say it is that situation of forgiveness, and you by faith forgive, and you got the flood of emotions and things that are coming against your mind, and things that are trying to dissuade you and to turn and to be bitter, and you say, no, in the name of Jesus, praise God. I will not be moved. I'll say of the Lord, you are my shield, you are my strength, the word is true, and I believe God. What am I doing? I'm passing a test right now. The rain is pounding, but I'm passing things on the inside. These things happen in a very undramatic way to be seen by men. These things happen in the privacy of your heart, in the privacy of your car, your life. That's where amazing things happen. And then Jesus said, when you get those secret place things, then I'll reward you openly. People say, wow, God's moving through me. Yeah, but there was some stuff that happened ahead of time behind the scenes. Some things that got free from. You're perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I don't even need their forgiveness. I want nothing. I'm satisfied. In God's word, it's true. It's good. I'm satisfied, and I've got victory and peace. And I'm not caving. Praise God. You'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. Praise God. These are the way we pass tests. I'm not doing this to go to heaven when I die, right? I'm doing this to overcome. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of my testimony. And to realize, praise God, there's freedom in doing it. And then finally, I'm just going to close with this thought. Thank God. In the open book test, there are retakes. I've had to do some retakes. How about you? Yeah. That's funny. Jesus told Peter ahead of time he was going to have to do a retake before he even took the test. Peter was expounding on his great love for Jesus and how he'd die for him and all that stuff. And I guess Jesus kind of shakes his head and said, you know, Peter, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny that you even know me. He said, but I've prayed for you, Peter. And after you've recovered yourself, you're going to strengthen the brethren. Isn't that good to know? But I prayed for you. Even if we fail, thank God for grace. Thank God for the throne of grace. Mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. There are retakes. I'm so thankful when I have those English compositions that I have to do in school and they send it back with all the little writings and hackings and fragments and what do you mean by that and this kind of stuff. I could look at it and say, okay, here we go. And really get it right the second time. Get a really good grade. So I'm going to learn sometimes from things. And man, there's opportunity for retakes. Retakes in the body of Christ and in this open book test. So,
The open book test.
Number one, we got to use the right book. The Word of God. There is no other book. And I'm telling you what, your knowledge of the Word of God will grow throughout your whole life. You'll never get there. You're just going to continue to grow, develop, but you're going to start with the right book. Start with the Word of God. It was good enough for Jesus to get him through his life's test. He lifted up this written Word of God. Of course, it was the Old Testament at the time, but he lifted up these pages and said, "It is written." Jesus put his stamp of validation on the Scriptures. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then he quotes our Bible. Wow. I don't know how much more validation you need. That's your Lord, your Savior, who said that. Clearly define the question. Yes, things are a mess up here, but I'm going to purpose, Lord, here we go. What is the issue? What's going on here? Write it out if you have to. Define what that is. Get it on paper. All right? Once you've got it, then you begin to on purpose. Take it and look up the answer. What does the Bible say about that? What does the Word of God say about it? If you want to get some tools to help out, that's not cheating. That's great. But make sure it's the Word of God, not somebody's feelings or opinions or angles or, you know, there's something about it is written that trumps all that. The Word. There's authority in this Word that Ed House doesn't have in his own creative angles and ideas. The Word. And then finally, doing what it says. And this is where faith is released. This is where you get to know God. This is where you get testimonies of in your own life of God's overcoming in your life. But these are how we begin to pass life's open book test with the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the fact that you've given us your Word. Jesus, you said that you wouldn't leave us orphans. You wouldn't leave us comfortless. You'd send the Holy Spirit who would lead and guide us into all truth. And then you gave us your Word, all Scripture, that's given by the inspiration of God. We are so thankful that we have the equipment, no matter what anybody is going through right now in this place. I know one thing, it's common to man. And I know another thing, there's a way of escape. There is precious promises that pertain to life and godliness that provide a way of escape. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I never have to worry or think about, God didn't quite cover this in his Word, my situation. Not true. It's all common to man. Oh, Father, we thank you for your Word. Praise God. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God. It's my answer book. I will clearly define these tests in my mind and look up your Word to find the answer. Your Word is truth. As I continue in your Word, I will know the truth. I will know the answer. That answer won't put me in bondage. That answer will set me free. Free indeed. Lord Jesus, I need your grace, your strength to do what your Word says. I do it by faith. I exercise faith. No emotional inspiration required. Deliberate faith. Exercising to godliness. Getting good at going to your Word in every situation. Lord Jesus, today's my day, the day I call upon your name. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. In Jesus' name, amen.